Praise God. Now, I have been teaching about the eight simple rules that you must live by. Eight simple rules that God expects you and I to live by. Eight simple rules. They are rules, and rules are not meant to be broken. They are rules, and one thing that adults understand are rules. We also expect our children to live by rules. And we set rules at home for our children. But we also are God's children. That means that we also have rules. And God expects you and I to live by rules. Rules are very important. Rules provide guidance. Rules provide safety. Rules ensure that you are rewarded. Amen. When you have children, when they break the rules, you do not clap for them, right? And say, well done for breaking that rule. You don't do that. You do not reward people who break rules. You don't do that. So also our Heavenly Father will not reward us if we break the rules. As a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, you must pay attention to these eight rules. What I'm saying is that if you are born again today and say, Pastor, I am born again, what should I be doing for the rest of my life? I will identify these eight simple rules as you keep doing them every day of your life, because this is how God will measure you. He said, well, Pastor, what will happen if I don't do these eight rules? Then if you don't do these eight rules, God will not reward you. That means that the devil will have you. The devil will have you. You must learn to live by these eight simple rules. And I've been talking about them like my hair is on fire since the beginning of this month. All right? And I want to expect that you should go and listen to it again. gatewaychapel.org.uk/the word. Go to it's a vote. It's all there. Go and download them. Go and listen to them. Feed your spirit man. And so we take our eight simple rules from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and from verse 6, from verse 16. I read from verse 15. It says, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. But from verse 16 particularly, he says, and it just says it, rejoice always. In other words, this is a rule. Rejoice always. And we have dealt extensively with rejoicing always. Rejoice always. There are no conditions, no if, but rejoice always. It means every time I see you, there should be joy in your face. In other words, he's saying, I don't really care how you feel in this sphere of life, because the Christian lifestyle, I just want you to do the rules. And the rules says, rejoice always. He said, Pastor, they just stole my wallet. He said, rejoice always. You don't know what I'm going through? He said, rejoice always. Why? It is the rule of the kingdom. Do you want to be in the kingdom or do you want to be outside the kingdom? If you want to be in the kingdom, he said, well, in this kingdom, we rejoice always. And we do not argue with the king why he has stated that we should rejoice always. You should rejoice always. Secondly, it says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And I want to dwell there today. It talked about, it said, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We will deal with that another time. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. So he gave us just simple things. He said, this should be your lifestyle now. I will measure you by these things. He says, rejoice always. And he gave us six or seven other things to do. But this service, I want to particularly focus on the second rule. And the second rule says, pray without ceasing. Pray what? Without ceasing. Pray continuously, my brother and my sister. Pray continuously. Your life should be dipped and soaked in prayers. Why? Because prayers empowers your spiritual man. Prayers make you weighty in the spirit. I don't want to take liberties by assuming that you know how to pray. Because even the disciples of Jesus came to Jesus and said, Master, teach us how to pray. They came to John, the disciples of John, take him to him and said, Ma, teach us how to pray. And Jesus told his disciples, say, when you pray, pray like this. So he taught them how to pray. And Jesus himself prayed continuously. In fact, at one point, when they were describing his prayers, describing him in prayers, they said he prayed so much that the droplets of blood was coming from his face. And he says, pray continuously, my brother and my sister. Prayer is not optional. It is not a buffet. You don't pick and choose. And I will say this also, it is your responsibility to develop the art of prayer. So if you don't know how to pray, or your prayer life is weak, and you don't pray concerning your prayer life, you go learn how to pray. Go and see Pastor Bola, go and see Pastor Femi, go and see Pastor Angela. Say, I don't know how to pray, or I am weak at the place of prayer. And so what must I do? The disciples of Jesus did it. They are not foolish people. The disciples of John did it. They are not foolish people. It will be wise if you know how to do it. But however, you are British. And you know what British people do? They say nothing. They just smile and they fold their hands. I would not say, I don't quite know how I'm going to go about it. Don't be shy. This is not England. This is the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Pray without ceasing. You either pray or be prayed upon. You either pray or you'll be preyed upon. The enemy will seek you out and he will sift you like wheat. It's like wheat. It's not the first time. That is his game. He knows that game very well. The Bible says he has come to steal. He will kill you. He will steal from you. He will kill you. He will destroy you. He will mess up your life. I'm telling you, when he's done with you, you will look at yourself and you will say, Lord, just kill me. He said, but you see, your time has not yet come. And then the devil will deal with you. Hey, it will be too much. You will be like a cheap trophy in the hand of the enemy. He will invade you like a wild wind. He will turn your destiny into a hurricane. He will scatter it like a wind goes through rusty papers. And that's why you must learn how to pray. Prayer is not optional. Prayer is not optional. The more you know how to pray, and the more prayed up you are, the more you get weighty in the realm of the spirit. In other words, you become a heavy weight in the realm of the spirit. Prayer gives you supernatural resistance. So you must learn how to pray. You must develop yourself in the art of prayer. You don't pray to know how to pray. You go and learn. It's like me praying to get fit. You don't pray to get fit. Trust me, I have tried. I have prayed that prayer. I have fasted to be fit. It didn't work. God did not hear that prayer, Pastor told you. He didn't hear. I prayed for six-pack. My goodness, I am still praying. But 9 o'clock in the morning, because I go to bed very late, at 5 a.m. or 4 a.m., I'll be turning in my way. Pastor Bola will wake up and he will look and say, huh. He will say, so sir, are you coming? And I say, And I was hoping that as I pray, one day I will just wake up and hear the pack, 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 pack. It is a lie. It doesn't work that way. You have to learn to pray. You have to learn to pray. And you have to learn to dedicate yourself to prayer. You have to learn to dedicate yourself to prayer. Many of you talk too much. It says pray continuously. In other words, there should be no vacuum in your life. You should just be praying. Pray like your hair is on fire. You have only one job. You have only one assignment. You pray. 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 Pray when you are doing the dishes. Pray when you are in the bathroom. Pray when you are taking the kids to school. There are so many who took their kids to school and their kids did not come back. I was watching the news yesterday. And was watching the news was just last week. A young boy went to school. The pride of his parents went to school. And then he had an allergic reaction. And they mistook it for stubbornness. And they put him in detention. And then he just died like that. He just died like that. There are so many who just die like that. A guy was talking to me the other day, well, just last week. He said, he went to his friend's funeral. I said, your friend, how old is that? Is he an old man? He said, no. He was just waiting at the bus stop, and then he just collapsed, and then he just died. I said, what do you mean he just died? I mean, what kind of life? I said, so are you going to travel to Africa now? He said, Africa. He said, London. He said, London. Just died like that. Prayer makes you weighty in the realm of the spirit. You don't know how to pray? Go learn how, go pray. Go exercise your spiritual muscles. Go learn the skills of prayer. Many don't pray. Many are powerless. They are prayerless. They can't tell the difference between intercessory prayer and supplication prayer. They can't tell whether it's warfare prayer. They don't know what the prayer of a righteous man is. They don't know what the prophetic prayer is. But yet, just move around aimlessly. And they say, we are born again. We go to church. I have good news for you. That will not suffice. The enemy you are fighting is too wise. He's too crafty. He argued with God. He wrestled with angels. His name is Satan. Too skilled. So you need to mind yourself. You need to mind yourself and take the tools that you need. You must pray. And you must pray. Not sometimes. Not once a month. You can't speak grammar. Can't be doing theology over prayer. No. Can't be doing theology over prayer. You can outsource your prayers. I am not your chief outsourcer. I am your pastor. My job is to teach you how to pray. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And then John taught his disciples how to pray. My job is not to sit down like I don't have anything to do with my life. And all I'll be doing is praying for you. Seriously? Do I look like I don't have a life? I have a life. I have a life. And I also have things I pray about too. Your job is even to pray for me. That is your job. You have to pray for your pastor. It says, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. It didn't say strike the sheep. There's nowhere in scripture where it says they will strike you. But there's way in scripture where it says they will strike me. So you pray for me. But how do you pray for me when you yourself can't even organize yourself to pray for yourself? How? Don't be a prayerless Christian. The Bible says a simple rule. It says pray. Talk to God about everything. Talk to God about everything. Don't reach for your phone before you reach for scripture. Don't call a friend before you call the Holy Spirit. Pray continuously. Talk to God. He is your best friend. God is your best friend. Trust God more than you trust me. Trust God more than you trust me. Spend your time seeking God more than you spend your time seeking me. I am just a man just like you. I am not your God. I am not Jesus. I am not Deputy Christ. Listen very carefully. Search your God. Pray. Ask for the hand of your God. Your God is your best friend. He said, pray continuously. He wasn't talking to me. He's talking to you. That relationship is between you and your God, not between you and I. Do you understand? I am not here. God has not called me to a ministry to gather people to myself and sit upon them. I am not looking for a kingdom of myself. No, you must learn how to pray. Listen very carefully. If you don't master the art of prayer, you are on a leash. What destiny are you building? Is it a destiny that is not insured by prayer? You are like building your destiny on a sand. The wind will come. The storm will come. And it will take it out. You will live your life at the end of the day. When that attack comes, you will have nothing to show for it, and you will have no one to blame. Who will you blame? Your pastor? Who will you blame? Your church? Who will you blame? Your parents? Who will you blame? Your friends? Get your acts together, my brother and my sister. Learn what you have come. Learn the skills of the kingdom. Go and learn how to pray. Don't be lazy about it. He said, but I don't know how. That is today. The more you practice, the more you know. Many of you are qualified. You are educated. You are experienced. You did not just get to experience in one day. No, you kept going. The first day you did a rubbish job, you went again. Second day you did a rubbish job. And you kept doing a rubbish job until one day you applied your heart and you gained mastery. I am here to tell you this morning, you must gain mastery in the place of prayers. You must gain mastery. You talk to God about the small stuff. You talk to God. about the big stuff. You talk to God about the happy stuff. You talk to God about the unhappy stuff. Some people will just be happy to call their friends and chatter and chatter and chat. And then while they are chatting, they will cut their entire life away. Next time your friend calls you, tell your friend after 2 minutes of talking nonsense, you will say, "My friend, I gotta go." He say, "Where?" "I want to go and pray." He say, "Ah, ah." He say, "But okay, I'll call back." So you can call back. Then they will call back. And then you will chat again. For 2 minutes, you say, "My friend, I gotta go." He say, "Why?" He say, "Because I'm going to pray." He say, "Is it every time you pray?" He say, "Yes. My pastor said I shouldn't talk more than 2 minutes without praying. So I have to go now." I say, "Ah, eh. What kind of church is that?" "Eh, it is my church. So I put a seal on your, you have 2 minutes talk. After 2 minutes, game over. Go and pray." Many have chatted their spiritual substance away just by talking. They just talk. And what they are talking about has no bearing to their destiny or their destination. And they talk to friends that cannot add value to them. I'm not saying don't make friends. Please, by all means, we are a friendly church, but make friends of value. Make friends of value. He said, iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron. Don't go and make friends with dead wood. Dead wood. Iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron. Wood cannot sharpen iron. So go and look for all the dead wood, the friends that represent dead wood in your life. "Hello, hi, I gotta go pray. Hello, hi, I gotta go pray. Hello, hi, I gotta go pray. I gotta go pray. I gotta go pray. I gotta go pray." Because when problems come, they come customized. Designer label. Fits your height, fits your weight, fits your postcode, it's a perfect glove. Your challenge is different from my challenge. And you won't outsource your own challenge to me. Amen. You want to outsource Rotimi. They want to outsource their challenge to me and then go eat a burger. I want to eat burger too. Oh, I want to eat burger. I want to eat burger too. Have they had all the problems you are outsourcing? Where do I outsource to? Yeah? Where do I outsource to? You have to learn how to pray. That's what happened. He said, how many of you we want to build a strong tower and will not first of all sit down and count the cost? You are the one that wants to build the strong tower. I am not the one who will sit down for you and count your cost. No, you sit down and count the cost of the tower you want to build for your life. You still sit down, and part of that cost is developing a strong prayer base. Developing a strong prayer base. Hey, do you understand? Developing a strong prayer base. You want to marry without a strong prayer base? Eh? What do you think you are doing? Eh? I'm mad. You want to marry without a strong prayer base? You want to raise children without a strong prayer base? You want to raise children without a strong prayer base? You want to have a happy marriage without a strong prayer base? Are you dreaming? Is that how it works? You want to have a job that will take care of you when you are 70 without a strong prayer base? Is that how it works? Don't be like, no. They have lied to the church for so long. Lied to the church for so long that you can be average. You can be an average Christian, a wishy-washy, mediocre Christian, and angels will be applauding you, and then you will sneeze. Heaven will give you a handkerchief to wipe your nose because you are made in the image of Christ. Utter nonsense. A fake prophets. They have sabotaged the entire kingdom. So we have half-baked Christians who can tell their right from their left. Half-baked Christians who can spend half an hour in prayer. They can't think half an hour in prayers without bringing out their phone and look twice like the government needs them. And we work for the CIA. You'll be amazed. The greatest wrestle of your life is the wrestle of attention. Many of you test yourself if you can hold your focus for half an hour and pray in the spirit. Try it when you get home. Kneel down for half and see if you can kneel down for half an hour. When you have done 2 minutes, you think you've done 20 minutes. Try it. You try it when you get home. Try it. Try it. Many of us, we are not waiting. We're not waiting in the realm of the spirit. Many of us, the devil has camped and encamped in our destiny. We have encamped in our destiny. And we don't have enough spiritual weight in the place of prayer to drive the enemy out. Do you understand? You must know how to pray. You must know how to pray. You pray about everything. God is your best friend. You develop the habit of prayer. Developing the habit of prayer, it takes time. Developing the habit of prayer is a huge, it's an investment of time. And guess the one thing that Christians will say they don't have time for? They don't have time for spiritual things. What exactly are you doing? What exactly are you doing? What exactly is your plan? What exactly is your agenda? Do you know what you are asking? Do you know what you are looking for at all? Do you know what is involved in this thing? I am telling you, it's an investment. You make the time to develop yourself in prayers. You make the time. You make the time. And it will cost you. And it's a painful process. He said, pick up your cross and follow me. Pick up your cross and follow me. Pick up your cross and follow me. He said, man of God, I'm raising children. He said, pick up your cross and follow him. He said, I'm okay, I have a job. I'm already struggling, trying to balance my work. And is it the word that can get rid of you tomorrow? Pick up your cross. Pick up your cross. So I have to balance between my work and family. So the thing I chose to kick out is my prayer time. No. It takes time. It takes time. Anyone who tells you that it's a very easy process is deluding themselves. They are not prayerful people. It takes time. It takes effort. But you have to start. You have to start. Start praying. I don't know what to pray. I've given you 3 resources. Go ask the pastors. But you must start. You must commit to it. You must measure yourself. You must measure yourself in the place of prayer. You should know how you are doing in the place of prayer. You should know. You should assess yourself. It's self-assessment. You should assess yourself. You should judge yourself. You also know what you are, whether you are weighty or whether you are weightless. You should know. You should know. You should know. Don't go around walking aimlessly, like without doing this evaluation. It doesn't matter what ratings you are, but give yourself a rating. But not to rate yourself. Not to rate yourself or have a plan for an active prayer life that is on fire, the one that hell respects. You are joking. Whatever you are doing, stop it. Stop building. What is the point? What is the point? What is the point? What is the point? Eh? When you know you're on the track for tears in the future, what is the point? What is the point? I see prayerless parents. Parents who want to, they want their kids to grow, right? Without prayers. They're not prayerful. If your children should describe you, they should say, oh, my mommy is always praying. That's what they should say about you. That is how, when you've done it right, that's how your children should say, my mommy is always praying. My mommy is always praying. And my daddy is always praying. Not my daddy is always beating my mommy. No, not that one. Yeah. No. Oh, my daddy and mommy, they're always fighting. They're always fighting. Go and hear your kids. Oh, they're always arguing. Oh, again. Oh, that's not what they should be saying. They should be saying, my mommy and my daddy, they're always praying. They're always praying. Your heart should be on fire. Your heart should be on fire. When it's an issue at the home, the first thing the kids should hear, let us pray. Let us pray. Let us pray. Let us pray. Until the day you say, let us pray, the kid will say, again? That means we are just starting. Yeah? You get my point? Yeah? When you say, let us pray, and the kid says, again? It means that, yeah, we're just starting. We're just getting ready to crank up the engine of that. Does that make sense? Yeah? Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what it is. You must learn how to pray. You must learn how to pray. You must saturate yourself in prayers. You know one funny thing about our faith? You can fake it. You can fake it. You can. You can fake it. Everything can be faked in our faith. That is the liberty we have in Jesus. You can't, in the time of before Jesus, you can't fake nothing. You fake nothing, it's your cuffs they will take out of the church. You can't fake nothing. But here, now, oh, the blood of Jesus, we abuse the blood of Jesus. So we are professional fakers. We fake. Next week, I'll be sharing with you 6 things that hinder your prayer life. Don't miss it. You got to know it. They landmines to your prayer. Some people pray. It's not every time somebody are praying and the devil is laughing at them. May God open your eyes to see the demons laughing at your prayers. May God open your eyes to see the demons laughing at your prayer. You are praying and demons are laughing because you are praying out of a vessel that is not registered. You are praying out of a vessel that is not registered. They know that that vessel has no power. I laugh at your prayers. Every amen is a party in heaven because it's coming from a light featherweight Christian who has no sense of destiny. Do you understand? So you pray. Prayer is not speaking English. Prayer is not flashing knowledge. I know the history of Methuselah. Who cares? Who cares? Prayer is not flashing knowledge. Prayer is not how long you have been in church. You know, Bishop, I was there when the ministry was starting. How about Apostle John? Oh, Apostle. How about Evangelist Mary? Nonsense. That's history. Prayer. When your name is mentioned in hell, what comes up? Prayer. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Prayer. The halo on your head that is sustained by intense prayer. The oil upon your destiny that makes your destiny slippery. It's not grammar we are talking about here. It's not grammar. It's not Bible knowledge. It's not history. It's not theology. Fervent spirit we are talking about. Fervent spirit is what we are talking about. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not knowledge. It's not you memorizing Genesis to Revelation, and yet you don't have power. You're speaking grammar. Anyone can speak grammar. It doesn't require a spirit to speak grammar. It doesn't require a spirit. Prayer includes thanking God, asking God, praising God, listening to God. All day, constantly. It says you do it continuously. 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 Now, my friend, that takes discipline. That takes discipline. That's another word that does not exist in the Christian faith anymore. It takes discipline to discipline your body in the art of prayer. We are a generation led by our stomach. We are a generation led by our stomach. All we want to do is eat and be merry and then outsource our problem to China. We outsource it in the realm of fast food. Pray. I can pray with my head bowed down. I can pray with my head lifted to heaven. I can pray with my eyes closed. I can pray with my eyes open. I can pray when I'm in a secluded place. I can pray when I'm in a crowd. I can pray when I'm seated. I can pray when I'm standing. I can pray lying down. I can pray standing up. I can pray in the tube. I can pray walking. I can pray anytime. But one thing is sure, I am consistently praying. And I'm strong in prayer. I am strong in prayer. For many people, until there is an impact, boom, they never see the devil coming. They never see the devil coming. But because their spiritual eyes are shut, they are spiritually blind. Their ears, they say, my sheep hear my voice. But they duct, their spiritual duct in their spiritual ears, it's so sealed up. They can't hear God. Even if God is shouting, they can't hear. They've not trained their spirit to recognize the voice of their master because they are so distracted by earthly activities. So they are spiritually very weak. I want to encourage you to register in the gym of prayer. And exercise yourself in the place of prayer. You may suck at it at the first time, but you keep on doing it until you start progressing. Until you start progressing. Especially you married folks. Right? Your home would become a home of prayer because you have a resident prayer partner. I have a resident prayer partner. That is what the marriage is about. The day you get married, you marry a resident. You have a resident prayer. Marriage is resident having a resident prayer partner. That's what marriage is. Marriage is having a resident prayer partner. So those of you who want to get married, young men and young women, please listen to this old man. Make sure your spouse is a prayerful woman. Make sure your spouse is a prayerful woman. Make sure your spouse is a prayerful man. Make sure when two of you come together so you can light up the home in prayers. You light up the home in prayers. That's what we are talking about. When you are having a meal, you are having a congregational meal in your home. Just the two of you, or just the three of you, or just the four of you. Your home is a sanctuary. Prayed up in prayer. Two believers, heavily graced in prayer. And you pray about everything. And then you'll be bouncing God, what God says between each other. That is a divine marriage. But when prayer is missing in the home, there's nothing. All you find is argument and fighting and nothing. No, God is not resident. God's not resident. I've never been married for how many years now? I've never fought my wife once. What am I fighting her for? What am I fighting her for? What are we fighting for? What are we fighting about that prayer cannot solve? But you see, when two prayerless people marry, disgusting. Disgusting. They move from the spirit into flesh. That is how settling them matters. There's no end to settling matters when prayer is missing. There's no end to settling matters when prayer is missing. Because if you are in God, and I'm in God, and I'm on fire, and you are on fire, what a joyful marriage. 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 A marriage is full of joy. You advance quicker. You are faster. You are insured. You are protected. Oh, blessed home. But what do you find? Can't pray. What you miss in the place of prayer, you want to settle with an argument. Are you a lawyer? But I said, and you said, how are you setting? What is setting? Is that progress? Setting. And I said, yes. Money demand. Are you hearing me? Take hand, money demand. Praise God. I said, how long have you married now? 21 years. 21 years together. Can you imagine? 29 together. Married. Exactly. 21 years married. 21 years married. And some people, they've not seen 10 years. And I said, why did you do that? Why did you do that? But they don't realize that it is Satan attacking the home. I know a foolish couple that divorced because they could not agree about the color of their kitchen in a house that God blessed them with. They divorced. Why? He's an architect. Foolish man. He's an architect. An architect. After God blessed them with that house, they divorced. They moved in and they divorced because they couldn't agree on the color of the kitchen. The wife said, I'm the wife. The kitchen belongs to me. He said, no. But I'm the architect. So I know the color, and the color must match this, and the color must match the carpet, and the carpet must match the ceiling. He said, okay, take the carpet, I'm going. Foolish couple. Disgrace to Christianity. Disgrace to Christianity. God bless them. Brand new house. I went there. In a formal church, sat them together, had multiple meals with them, and I wish they would give me my money back. Paid for the meals. And I said, hey, both of you, you know, this house God gave you. What is the, my man, look, I need to study architecture. Let this thing go. No. But pastor, can you see there, this color? I said, I told Bola, let us go. We are not having this one. They've gone. So they've gone. Even in all that argument, never once the demand said, "Say, I was praying on the Lord's day." Never once did the foolish woman said, and so yeah, when God gave us a word about this house, they were empty, they were void, they were successful, but they were spiritually barren. They were successful, but they were spiritually barren. And yet, Demola, they were churchgoers. Churchgoers! Church! Every Sunday, I see them in the car park carrying back. All that walking, there was no step in the spirit. It was only in the physical. But the first, they will sit down, carry iPad and put their hand. But they won't do nothing inside. Because our Christianity can be faked and forged. Are you a forged Christian? Are you a fake one? But when the devil comes, and he blows his fan of attack, your backside will be in public. Am I not talking about them today? I said they are foolish misrepresentation of the gospel. The one that took the success without a spiritual responsibility. You want to marry without prayer. You want to raise children without prayer. You want to have your job without prayer. You want to shut your... Some can't even quote one scripture. They can't quote one scripture. They can't quote one scripture. They can't. They have not invested the time enough to memorize a scripture for prayers. They can't. They can't. But they are quick to raise the flag and born again and spirit-filled in a fake religion. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Your time will show up one day. Don't be like that. He said, Peter. Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. I didn't tell him not to, because that is his job. To attempt is his job. He's come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I'm praying for you that you will have the resistance to counter him when he comes. Do you understand? Next week, I'll be sharing with you the things that hinder your prayer, if you pray at all. Rise to your feet and let us pray. Thank you. We thank Jesus. We thank Jesus. Raise your hand to pray heaven and ask for a new heart. Ask for a revived heart. A revived heart. This heart you have can't sustain you. Don't waste your time. I told you earlier, whatever you are building, stop building. I'm wasting your time. Unless what you are building, whether it's your children, whether it's your career, whether it's your business, whether it's your life, whether they are your goals, unless they are insured by prayers that you know that you have invested in, you're wasting your time. It won't last. So I'm going to ask the Lord for a new heart. Give me a new heart. Give me a new heart. Revive me. Purify my heart and revive me. Purify my heart and revive me. Revive me. I want to be a man of prayer. Yes. That is a good desire. I want to be a woman of prayer. That is a good desire. Great desire. That's a beautiful desire. Make me a man after your heart, David prayed. That's a great aspiration, great dream, great goal. Give me a new heart today, Heavenly Father. Come on, pray. Pray for yourself. It is your destiny that needs to be built. I build mine, you build yours. It is your destiny that needs to be built. Oh God, I pray, give me a new heart today. Revive me, Holy Spirit. Revive me in the place of prayer. Light my altar, oh God. Make me a high priest over my own altars. In the name of Jesus. Come on, pray for yourself. Pray fervently. I want to hear in the spirit. I want to see in the spirit. I want to believe in the spirit. I want to speak in the spirit. Turn my life around, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Come on, pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray, 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 pray. Let this service be a turnaround service for you. Let it be that a man came to this service, but he's going out a man of God. Let it be that a woman came into this service, and you are going out a woman of God. You came as a man, but you are going out a man of God, a man anointed in the place of prayer. You came in as a woman, but you are living here to this morning as a woman of God, a woman anointed in prayer, a woman engraced in prayer. Strengthen me, Holy Spirit, revive my altars, revive my prayer life, in the name of Jesus. Come on, pray fervently, pray fervently, pray fervently. Register me in the gym of prayer. Register me, oh God. Register me, oh God. Register me, oh God. Register me, oh God. Register me, Holy Spirit. Teach me, Holy Spirit. Be my instructor. Teach me, Holy Spirit. Be my instructor. In the name of Jesus, I pray, oh God. I pray, oh God, that you will instruct me in the place of prayer. You will cause my ears to be open. You will touch my heart, oh God. You will cause my tongue to be loose. You will cause my eyes to see. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we pray, oh Lord, today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, I present your body once again to you today. I ask, oh God, that you turn the heart of every man and every woman towards you today. In the name of Jesus. Lord, revive them, oh God. Revive them, oh God. Make their feet light in the spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the family say,
amen.
And the family say,
amen.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name.